Good afternoon, everyone, and Happy New Year 2016. I'm Richard Dayoub, President and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce, and welcome to another rendition of El Paso Primetime. For those of you who are new listeners to the show, when we do this show, when I host the show, the idea behind it is to educate and inform as much as possible our listening audience on subject matters and introduce them to individuals that perhaps they're not familiar with and don't get exposed to in the normal course of their business day. So with that in mind, it is my great pleasure to introduce to you today Mr. Tony Martinez, who is the president and CEO of Ready One Industries. And rather than I tell you what Ready One is and does, we'll just hand it off to Tony. Tony, welcome to the show, and thank you for being willing to do this with me.
Richard, thank you. And I appreciate you inviting me onto the show. I really think it's a pleasure to be here with you. Ready One Industries is a local company that actually employs about 1,000 people. And we do a variety of things, some of which is we have a contact center. We have document storage and destruction. We also have a corrugated line of business. But our main line of business is manufacturing military suits for the Army primarily. And we've been doing that for quite a number of years. Our mission is to employ people with significant disabilities. And as such, we are part of the Ability One program, which is a national program run by the Ability One Commission. And their mission coincides with ours, and that's to make sure that we do employ people with significant disabilities. And part of the requirement of being a member of the Ability One program is to have 75% of the direct hour work done by people with significant disabilities or visually impaired who also qualify under the program.
That's great. Thank you. Now, I know some of this information because I've been privileged to have gotten a tour by you at the facility not very long ago. But if you touched on two things, actually three things, but the average listener may not understand what you mean when you say contact and corrugated. So why don't you explain what those two are?
Certainly. Contact center is more commonly referred to as a call center. But it's more than just telephone. It's called an omni-channel. You also have texting. You also have emailing that can be involved. So because it has more than just a call center type of activity, it's kind of evolved into what is known as a contact center. So it covers all those.
Okay. But for clarification, that contact center isn't for Ready One's clientele. You're an outsourced organization that you contract with other clients, correct?
Correct.
So give us an example, without naming names necessarily, but with the kind of calls you make, the kinds of companies you represent.
Well, we can call people that may be interested in attending, let's say, a college, a private college, and we find out if they are, one, interested. If they are interested, we give them information as to how they can contact a college and who to contact at the college for enrollment and what kind of courses can be offered to that person. That type of activity where we actually will call out for a customer and either provide information or acquire information for the customer, and that information is then used to help promote that customer's business.
Okay. And the corrugated side?
Corrugated, that's another name for a box company. We have a part of our business that is strictly devoted to making boxes for customers, different size boxes for different purposes. Locally, we manufacture company boxes for nut companies, for example, that are now harvesting their pecans, and they need to be able to put them into containers. So we provide them with cardboard boxes to do that, and they ship them off to different parts of the country for their customers. So we also have two different GSA boxes that we sell, where we are on the GSA Government Service Administration list, and other government entities can take a look at that catalog, and if they feel like they need these type of boxes for whatever activities they may have, they put in orders, and we receive those orders and ship off those boxes to those agencies. And we also provide corrugated material to the United States Postal Service as well. And they're a good customer of ours also.
So because of that, and because of each of the customers you just mentioned by name are in fact government organizations, then your employees in those two separate entities, are they also employed as disabled?
Yes. Yes. Anytime we do any kind of activity for the government, when that contract is called a set-aside contract, it's put on the federal procurement list. We need to ensure that the work performed under those contracts falls under the Ability One program, and that 75% of the direct hours that are performed on that particular contract are by people with significant disabilities. Now, I also named off some customers that are for-profit, commercial customers. And under our commercial work, we don't necessarily need to fall under that 75-25% ratio. However, whenever we do commercial work, their hours, their direct hours, are added up and counted on our agency-wide hours and counted against our agency-wide ratio.
Okay.
So we cannot get away from that 75-25% ratio too far in our commercial work, or we jeopardize our overall agency ratio. So normally, whenever we do commercial work, we stay within the 75-25% ratio.
And you mentioned earlier document destruction.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Correct.
And is that also another operating division that does have to fulfill the obligations and requirements of Ability One?
That's correct. Although most of those contracts are commercial contracts, but again, because that can affect our overall agency ratio, and it's our mission to employ people with significant disabilities. So we try and maintain or exceed the 75-25% ratio.
So because, again, I've had the great opportunity to tour your facilities, and our audience, for the most part, probably have not, why don't you tell us a little bit about the physical location, the size of your plant, and then I'd like to talk a little bit about the uniforms to which you referred a moment ago. If you would just give them a visual.
Sure. Ready One is actually located at 1414 Ability Drive. You probably won't find Ability Drive on your map because it's a one-block street. It's named Ability Drive because of the Ability One program. It's actually located on the east side of El Paso, just off of Lee Trevino. If you go up Lee Trevino or come down Lee Trevino, whichever direction you're going, and turn east on James Watt, we're about a block up from there. Our main facility is approximately 350,000 square feet, most of that being made up of manufacturing square footage. It's pretty good size, as you remember when you took the tour. And that's where we make our military garments. And quite proud of our facility. I think we maintain a very clean, bright, uplifting environment for our employees. It's something that we try and strive for. So we try and maintain a very nice manufacturing area for our employees. We try and give them some additional benefits other than what we pay them. So we also maintain a clinic in the facility at 1414 Ability Drive, which is free to our employees. And so it's a benefit that is good for our employees, and it's good for Ready One, because our employees can make an appointment to seek medical attention if they need some medical attention in the mornings. And if they need to just walk in, they can walk in the afternoons. But what that does for us is allows our employees to obtain medical treatment there at the facility. So it minimizes the amount of time that they're away from their workstation. Instead of having to make a schedule with a private doctor and basically lose an entire day from being able to work, we're just talking maybe an hour at most that they lose in their back and being productive, not only for us but for themselves.
Now, that's a trend I've seen across the nation, particularly in the West Coast and in the tech industry, Silicon Valley, with a lot of the for-profit companies, the household names like Apple and Google and all these others, where, of course, they can, because of their revenue streams, can provide enormous benefits. So it's really refreshing, particularly for an organization that is fundamentally a nonprofit organization, to be able to provide those kinds of same services. By the way, I think a number of companies in El Paso, either because of competition or simply it's the right thing to do or a combination of the two, are beginning to look at those kinds of concepts. Obviously, they have to be larger employers with a number of employees in order to justify the expense. You also have a great cafeteria.
We do. We have the cafeteria available for all our employees, and we have a caterer that comes in and sells some pretty good food. I go there and eat myself. And the nice thing about it is the most you can pay for any meal is $4.
That's great. I'm going to start coming over there for my lunch hours.
You're more than welcome.
So changing gears and getting back to the mission of Ready One, tell us a little bit about what you can tell us regarding the uniforms, the military products that you're producing for them.
Right now we are making three products. And one of the things that I had to go through in taking this job was learning all the acronyms that come with the job. And the three main products are the ACU, ACP, and the JS List. Now, the ACU is the Army Combat Uniform. And we are making the jacket to those. That's basically your standard uniform that you see Army personnel wearing, their fatigues.
Right.
So anytime you see military folks going around the city with their fatigues on, that's the Army Combat Uniform. And so the jacket portion of it is what we manufacture here at Ready One. The ACP is the Army Combat Pant, and that's a little bit more specialized article that we were able to help develop with the Army. So it's something that we're very proud of being able to do here at Ready One. We have a pretty robust engineering department that engages in design and coming up with what is the best design for the purpose. And that's how we came up with the Army Combat Pant. And that's something that you don't see out on the street. This is something that is actually used, as the name says, for combat. And it's issued to soldiers that are deployed to any theater that may require a combat pant.
Right. So a combat pant, for those listening, is a little different than the average, what we refer to as a fatigue or an ACU, in that...
Well, the main feature on this is that it has reinforced areas, plus it has an insertable knee pad, so that if a warfighter is out and needing to come to their knees for whatever reason because of combat conditions, they can do so without the fear of hurting their knees, and the reinforced areas will allow that warfighter to engage in different activities and not worry about harming the garment as much as he or she would utilizing a normal combat uniform.
Right. And then you mentioned a third product.
Yes, the JS List, and that's the Joint Service Lightweight Integrated Suit Technology. That's what JS List stands for, and it's basically our chemical uniform that has been used for years and years by all services. That's why it's joint services. And it's, I think, without question, the best chemical uniform that is available in the world. And it has been tested and thoroughly vetted out, so that there's no question that it will perform as the military wants, and that it will protect our warfighters in case of a chemical weapon exposure.
That's great to know. Thank you. By the way, just for humor purposes, I actually have it on my phone. But years ago, I discovered that you cannot possibly keep up with all of the acronyms that the military uses, any branch of the military. And so I have right there an app on my iPhone in the top left-hand corner, military abbreviations. So every once in a while, I'll be in a meeting and someone's making a speech, like we're in Washington for the annual Association of the United States Army, which you go to every year, conference, and somebody will say something, and I'll recognize immediately that's not an acronym I know, and so I will immediately jump onto my app and pull it up to see. So we have about 10 minutes left for us to continue this dialogue. So I'd like you to please, as you feel comfortable, share whatever information you think our listening public would need to know that you perhaps haven't already covered, related to Ready One Industries, present, past, future, plans. You have a great board, many of whom are local, correct?
That's correct. We have a very, very active, very strong board, in my opinion, with quite a number of qualifications that bring a lot of qualities to help us through our administrative needs, and as far as being able to plan for the future and take care of immediate matters as well. We have four members that are local business people, and all with different types of backgrounds and experiences that give us a lot of good qualities for our board. We also have three members that are from out of town, and also with great qualities, and give us a lot of talent that we can draw on to help us with our administrative functions.
Well, I won't ask you to divulge their names. I know them personally, but I do think it might be a nice thing for me, at least, at this moment with you on the air with me, to at least recognize one former member of your board who's done such a phenomenal job for you all and recently stepped down. I'm referring to Tripper Goodman.
Tripper Goodman. Tripper's been a significant figure in helping Ready One. Tripper is actually still on the board for just a little bit longer, but he's in an advisory position and is a non-voting member.
Yeah.
And so he will step away from the board completely in April. But Tripper was a voting member on the board for 9 years, and he came onto the board at a time when everybody was running away from Ready One. Ready One, some of the history for Ready One, we used to be known as NCED. And the president of NCED was Bob Jones at one time. And so we had a few problems with Mr. Jones. And so when all of those problems came to light, Ready One, then NCED, went into crisis mode. And it was Tripper, along with Marty Berkowitz, General Arthur Gregg, and Merritt Allen, who came in and did a phenomenal job in reorganizing the management of Ready One, and made sure that Ready One became compliant with the Ability One program and maintained that compliance. And that's something that we implemented back in 2006, and it's something that we take great pride and great care in, making sure that we are always compliant with the Ability One program. And, you know, we're proud of what we've done.
You know, As you should be.
We don't try and run away from our past. I mean, we can't do that. So, you know, there's no need in trying to do that. What we can do is make sure that we have learned from our past and make sure that we will never repeat those mistakes that were made.
Very admirable. And I want to underscore something for our audience, and that is because of the efforts that you just mentioned by those individuals and others who really turned the entire organization around, it wasn't merely about keeping contracts with Ability One. It was providing those jobs, those very important and necessary jobs for a population segment in our community who gets paid well, who is provided for well by the employer, who otherwise would struggle to find similar opportunities in our community simply because those manufacturing jobs aren't as easy to come by.
That's correct. You know, that was the most important thing that the board was in charge of, that charged with. It was making sure that those jobs were preserved, because they were being threatened to be taken away by the entire organization being closed down, and that would have meant a loss of you know, over 1,000 jobs at the time, and we were able to preserve those jobs under the Ability One program. There's the choice of paying commensurate wages. And that's a term that probably most people are not familiar with. Commensurate wages are wages that are less than minimum wage. And they are set on a person's efficiency and being able to perform tasks. And so let's say that a person with significant disabilities was only able to perform at a 40% efficiency rate. Well, under commensurate wages, we could pay that person 40% of the minimum wage, and it would be legal. But we have chosen not to participate in that program and not pay commensurate wages and pay at the minimum, a minimum wage rate for people with significant disabilities. We want them to be able to be to live in a dignified manner. And I think that's one way of being able to accomplish that.
I think that's exceptional. So I'm being cued that we're about to run out of time. Any closing comment, Tony, that you'd like to make?
No. I think we do serve people with significant disabilities. And, you know, we're always trying to make sure we have a pool of employees that we can draw from or candidates that we can draw from that are significantly disabled. And I think we probably don't get out in the public enough for people to think of Ready One immediately when there's a person with significant disabilities that might need employment. So, you know, I would like to stress if there are people with significant disabilities out there that are looking for employment, please come to Ready One and submit your application so we can have your application on hand whenever we need you.
You heard that, ladies and gentlemen, so take advantage of it. We are out of time, so I want to again wish you all a very happy new year. Tony, I want to thank you for being our guest. I'm sure it was quite informative for our audience, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate it.